You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Are you suffering from chronic headaches, fatigue, brain fog? Now, how about trouble losing weight, getting a good night's sleep, or starting to experience and you're starting to experience muscle and joint cramps and pain? Well, yes, it could be from a poor diet of bread, cheese, sugar, and alcohol, but there may be another missing piece to the health puzzle: proper hydration. Now, Dr. Dana Cohen, a nationally renowned internal and integrative medicine specialist, believes that you can beat fatigue, drop your weight, and heal your body through the new science of optimal hydration. She is here on Wellness for Life to share her discoveries and her breakthrough wellness plan so you can start feeling better today by quenching your body rather than just quenching your thirst. Great to have you here on my show, Dr. Dana.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes. Tell us a bit about Why is it so important to be hydrated? And are there really dangers of dehydration?
So, yes. So let's clarify. We're not talking about overt dehydration where you're in the hospital and you need IV fluids. We're talking about this chronic, low-grade, subclinical dehydration that most of us suffer from, at least 75% of us suffer from, and it can happen at any point during the day, and it's this daily onslaught of dehydration because of the environments that we live in, because we're living in air conditioning and heat and electronic devices and processed foods. All these things are just sucking the hydration out of us. So we're talking about this low-grade dehydration, and it is a link. There's lots of things linked to it other than, you mentioned fatigue and brain fog, but it could be even worse. It can lead to things like, it could put you at risk for certain cancers, colon cancer, bladder cancer, even far worse things like chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia. Also, there's been links to type 2 diabetes and even Alzheimer's disease. So it is a real problem, and we can do better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and people who drink even 10 glasses of water can actually be dehydrated. You know, there's a myth of all this. You got to drink plenty of water, and that's how you're going to continuously cellularly hydrate. But that's not true, is it?
It's not. Good. Exactly. Now, I am here to tell you that it's not the most effective way to get hydrated by drinking ever more water. And the reason is, and we can just get into it, is that there's a new form of water that's been published and talked about and discovered. We know that water exists as liquid, ice, and vapor, right? And now there's a fourth phase of water that's been discovered, and this phase is this gel phase. It's also known as structured water or ordered water. But in this gel phase of water, it's much more effective at hydrating us because it holds electricity better, it gets into our cells better, and in fact, it's the type of water that's found intracellularly inside our cells. It also happens to be the type of water that's found in plants. So in vegetables and fruits, they're loaded with this gel water. So I'm here to say that a better way to hydrate is to eat your water. And we can do that by eating lots of plants and vegetables and other hydrating foods.
Yeah, I read about the fourth phase of water of Jerry Pollack's work. He's brilliant. And although
brilliant.
Yeah, the book was difficult to read because there's a lot of science like stuff in it. Not that I'm not a scientist. It's not like someone that a basic consumer is going to be get a lot out of it. So your book really gives a better understanding about this fourth phase of water and how important it is to at the cellular level. Hydrate your cells.
Exactly. Thank you. It took me a very long time to understand what he was talking about as well, and many conversations with him. My writing partner knows him very well and has studied with him, the co-author of the book, Gina Brea. And so, we really tried to make the book, our book, very readable and understandable And it's interesting. I mean, they're sort of mind-blowing ideas, but a lot of it is very instinctual, you know, in many ways. So, you know, we're dehydrated. We know we have to hydrate better. And I've had so many people tell me, I barely drink water, but I do great, you know. And that's probably true for a lot of people. It may not be true for many people, but it is true for a lot of people.
Well, in general, yeah. How can our audience look at themselves and see if they're dehydrated? What are some of the signs and symptoms? And are there any biomarkers that you look at when you look at, let's say, in your blood tests?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The blood test, I think about more on the fact if you're overhydrating. And I can tell you, this is more common than people think, where your sodium levels are actually low, because I have patients who, it's called polydipsia, where they just drink too much water, and you're flushing out your electrolytes. So I think more, you know, unfortunately, there's no great test. There's no great biomarkers for this subclinical or low-grade dehydration, but you know, blood tests. But there are some things that we look at, and you mentioned a couple of them. The first thing that I really like to say is that afternoon fatigue or brain fog, that to me is more of a first sign of dehydration than it is for low blood sugar. You know, so instead of reaching for the candy bar, try reaching for better hydration, and you may find that your energy is so much better and sustained throughout the day. Other things that we look at, just basic things, dry skin, chapped lips, headaches. We talked about even bad breath, bloating, constipation is a big one. And then some very simple tests that you can do at home. Look at the color of your urine. Our urine is meant to be very pale yellow, very light yellow in color. If it's dark yellow or even orange, you're probably very dehydrated. You have to be a little careful, though, because if you take B vitamins, it can turn your color, your urine, a yellow.
Yes.
So be a little careful about that. And then the last thing, two things. You can pinch the top of your skin, the top of your hand, pinch the skin on the top of your hand. And if it tents up and it doesn't spring back down, that's a nice sign for dehydration. And then the last thing I like to tell people, you know, we're meant to get up and urinate every 2 or 3 hours during the day, not at night, because we make hormones that stop us from urinating at night. But during the day, we're meant to get up and pee every 2 or 3 hours. So if you're not doing that, you know, people are afraid to do that because they have to work and they have to. But for so many reasons, it's important. Number one, you're getting up and moving around, but we're, you know, that also, you're also hydrating better. So a couple things you can look at.
You know, I live in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles, I did some research on the particulates and what's in our air, and I found out that we had a lot of ammonia in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles, although it's right near the beach, you know, where I live, but it's super dry. So, I mean, you would think that it wouldn't be, but it is still super dry. And I really think that the ammonia is sucking out the water in the air, which then, of course, you're more dehydrated. So I ask patients to get what's called a hygrometer and look at the actual humidity in their house, especially in their bedrooms where they're sleeping. And if we can correct that a bit with a cool mister, that makes a big difference as well.
Absolutely. I mean, our environments are problems, and you know, we're all living in heat and air conditioning, and you know, UV lights and all these terrible fake lights around us. They're all just not good for us. So that's great. I love that, because that kind of moisture in the air absolutely helps contribute to our hydration in a very important way.
You know, you talk a lot about water, of course, and that you believe, you know, 8 glasses of water is just not the way to do it. You talk about the types of foods that quench our cells. I'd really love to talk about that. And that is related to the fourth phase of water. Isn't that correct?
It is. I mean, if you think about how desert plants hydrate, right? You think about aloe and cactus. They hydrate via gels. I mean, you open them up and you can see the gel. The book, we have over 50 recipes for very hydrating foods and soups and popsicles and smoothies. And we give you lots of ideas for different foods in the book to eat. But I'd love to talk about four of, yesterday was the first day of summer. So I'd love to talk about four of my favorite foods that we can play around with, incorporate. They're a little unusual, but they're fun.
Sure.
So, let's talk about a couple. So the first, today I want to talk about chia seeds, lychee fruit, prickly pears, and aloe, because they are my favorites. So let's start with chia seeds. Chia seeds, to me, are absolutely a superfood. You may or, you know, your listeners may or may not know, they're loaded with omega-3 fatty acids, really important for heart health and inflammation. But chia seeds also, and as you may or may not know, when you put them in liquid, they form that gel around them. They are incredibly hydrating. They hold on to that water in your cells better, and they help absorb that water into your cells better. They're great for digestion, endurance. They can help with weight loss. So I typically love to, grind my chia seeds and throw them on salads. You can throw them in smoothies. All of these foods, you can, typically throw them in any kind of smoothie. So I'll try to give you some other ideas and ways to use them. But sprinkle them on your salad. There's recipes for chia pudding all over the internet. And that's a great dessert. If you have a little sweet tooth, you can add a little fruit to it or a little maple syrup or something. So chia seeds are fantastic, very hydrating. My co-author is a cultural anthropologist, so she studies desert cultures, if I'd done it differently, I would have been an anthropologist undergrad. So I love some of the stories, and we talk about a story in the book about this tribe from Mexico that basically ran 50-mile marathons with chia seeds and barely any water. So chia seeds are great.
Can I ask you a question about the chia seeds before you dive into the next one? Well, chia seeds, obviously, they come in dry form. It's dry. Is it better to just eat it dry, as you're saying, sprinkle, or is it better to put it in some kind of liquid so it changes and gets that gelatinous cover before you take it in?
I think either way is okay. It does. I think your body will form the gel from the chia seeds itself. But I like to soak them a little bit to get that gel, because I do think it's a little bit more hydrating. But once again, that tribe that I talked about, they had chia seeds in their pockets and were eating the chia seeds without any hydration. So I think either way is good. There was something somebody recently brought up to me, and I meant to do this research, and I haven't yet, that there may be some lectins in chia seeds, which may not be great for us. And so it's important to soak them longer to get those lectins out. I'm not 100% clear on that. So that's one person's, it was actually Dr. Mercola, lectins is his big thing. And so that may be something to that where we should soak them longer and help get rid of some of those lectins.
Next one is
lychee fruit is, so let's start with anthropology. Ancient Chinese princesses used to have their servants get them lychee fruit to help keep their skin youthful. So lychee fruit has been shown to help with youthful skin. It's an immune booster. It can help with metabolism and weight loss. I don't know if your listeners have ever tasted one. They are delicious. They're so yummy. And
fresh, of course, better than canned, because canned is just loaded with sugar. But, peeling that little red fruit in getting the fresh, it is so delicious.
So delicious. So, you know, you mentioned sugar. So even, I do have to say, though, even the fruit, a lot of lychee does have a lot of sugar in it, natural sugar, which is not a bad thing. But if you use too much of it, if people have blood sugar problems, it does have a lot of sugar. One of the issues with lychee, however, what I'll typically do with lychee is I'll throw just a couple in like a water infuser and just sort of, you know, make my water, it will structure your water and it will make your water taste yummy. But if, for people who can have that much sugar, I actually, you know, I prescribe a lot of supplements in my practice. So I do prescribe a supplement made from lychee called oligonol. And this supplement has over 30 human clinical trials on it, and one in particular is shown to decrease belly fat by 15%. It also helps protect you from your skin from UV radiation, a very powerful antioxidant. So I'll either take the supplement or I'll actually open them up and also throw, you know, two capsules in my smoothie if I can't get lychee fruit, which is also very seasonal. Just like the next one we're going to talk about, which is prickly pear. Very seasonal, especially here in New York. Prickly pear is it's in the cactus family. Very yummy, delicious, seasonal fruit that is found mostly in Arizona and Mexico. And prickly pear has been shown also to help with blood sugar issues. It can help lower cholesterol. It has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties. So the best way, prickly pear is a little hard to use. You have to sort of, in New York, you have to go to Latin markets to find them. They're not everywhere. Lychee fruit I found even in my local bodega across the street. The prickly pear is a little bit harder to find, up here at least. I don't know how it is in California.
Oh, but, more. We have a big Latin American population here, so we can get it quite a bit. And I was just in Mexico, and we have prickly pear and nopales, which is another type of cacti.
Cactus. Oh, delicious. Yeah, I'm really wanting to play around more with some of the cactus fruits. So prickly pears, just a quick thing. What I'll do is you have to wash them good, get the little spikies off of them because they are a little prickly. I cut off both the ends and I throw the whole fruit in a food processor. And it's bright red, gorgeous color. And then you have to strain it because you get the skin and there is some seeds. You strain it, and when you strain it, it's already gel like. It's so much gel in there, so you can throw that in your water. Again, I like to make water infusions or agua frescas, and I'll do some prickly pear with lime and lemon in just a water infusion. There's prickly pear jams and jellies that you can buy, juices. So. Prickly pear is the third one I want to talk about. And the last one I want to talk about today is aloe. I grew up in actually South Florida, and we had aloe plants growing all over the place. And, you know, whenever I'd get a burn, Mom would go out and grab the aloe plant and throw the gel right on top of your burn. So aloe is very healing, but we can also eat it internally. And as many of us know now, aloe juice is available everywhere. And you can actually just fillet the aloe leaf, take that gel and eat it, or you could throw it also in smoothies or buy the juice. The juices that they have, you have to be a little careful. A lot of them have such, added other things, added fake stuff and sugar. So some of them, so there's definitely better brands than others out there of the aloe. And aloe is great for heartburn and constipation and... what else can aloe help? Also blood sugar stuff. So aloe is my fourth one I want to talk about on this second day of summer.
Oh, chia seeds, lychee fruit, lychee fruit, prickly pear, and aloe. That all sounds so yummy right now. I'd like to, though, also ask you, in the book you talk about fascia. Fascia is the new hot word in our in different body parts. Fascia. Can you give us the connection of fascia and hydration?
Yes. So fascia is the second half of hydration. So there was a couple years ago, a French, brilliant French doctor who decided to, I think he was a plastic surgeon, decided to put a microscopic camera under the skin of a living person and basically looked at living fascia. And before this, you're crazy that fascia was never looked at. It was only ever studied under dried, desiccated cadavers. So just one step back, for people who don't know, fascia is that connective tissue webbing that envelopes every cell and every organ in our body. So what his camera showed is that fascia is actually it acts as a hydraulic pump for moving fluid. So, which is very interesting, and because we've only ever thought that fluid gets moved via lymph and blood, right? And now we know that there is another way that fluid is getting moved around, and it's fascia. So the idea of, you know, we have to move our joints to lubricate them, now we really understand why. And so the other part, if we're sitting all day, that's dehydrating because it's actually squelching or stopping the delivery of hydration to your extremities, to your lower areas of your body. So fascia is a really important, we call it a hydraulic pump. So even the idea of taking your chin and touching your chest, going up, moving your head up and down, is moving fluid in and out of your brain. So in the book, we not only have recipes for food, we have recipes for what we call micro movements, these very small, easy movements that everybody should do all the time throughout the day. In addition, you know, even from the elite athlete, and this is in addition to whatever exercise you're doing, that these sort of micro movements gets that fluid to where it needs to go.
So that's just another, component where we always, the doctors and myself, of course, we want to move more. We just really, we are a country and pretty much the world in modern times here. We are so immobile. We don't move enough. And so a lot of our chronic illnesses, is one of it, is stems from lack of movement.
So, or lack of hydration. You know, it's hard to tease out what. And that's, I have to say, I am so proud of this book. I think it's going to help a lot of people. And even, you know, once again, from the elite athlete is going to benefit from it, but even the really sick person. I give a case study in the book of a woman who literally could barely walk into my office. And all I did was put her on the 5-day plan while I was, you know, working her up and getting her blood work. And she came back jumping up and down saying, I can't believe how good I feel. And this was a really sick woman who could barely move. She had chronic fibromyalgia. Everything hurt her. She was drinking a ton of alcohol just to sort of help her sleep and the pain. But it was, in turn, making everything worse. And, you know, now flashback a year later, she has completely stopped drinking. And you know, she just needed that little impetus to get the ball rolling in the right direction. So, hydration is to me the first step in any kind of plan you're going to take on. You need to make sure that you're well hydrated. It's homeostasis. It's everything that our body strives for. We need to be properly hydrated in order to have balance in our cells and our body. So, yeah.
How about hydrating through using your skin as a method of bringing in water? Do you talk about that in your book at all?
Explain to me what you mean exactly.
What I mean is, let's say, soaking in special type of liquids or waters, purified water.
Yeah,
if you soak in it, would that make a difference?
You know, it may. We don't talk about it. It's funny. We do talk about something related. The idea of hydration is not only an intake or bringing in fluid, but it's also the outtake. So detoxification relies on proper hydration. So, you know, we have to urinate to get rid of detoxins, and we have to sweat. So the idea of the outflow is just as important as the inflow, and both really, you know, you need hydration to do that. So, but we don't talk about soaking in special waters. That's interesting. I'm not sure. We do give a little bit of information about, you know, sort of putting creams on or that kind of thing, but there's nothing that can match that inner hydration, then there's no cream or anything that can match taking it in internally and eating a more hydrating diet.
Right. That's good to know here. And then when we think about water, you know, because there's so many different kinds of waters out there. There is reverse osmosis water, alkaline water. There is the mineral water. There is structured water. Obviously, for you, you believe structured water is the best, but not everyone can have access to that. And most people in this country, they drink tap water. And I for one, don't. I ask people not to. How about in your, what do you believe in?
Yeah. So actually what you said is not 100% true. Everybody has access to structured water. If you have access to vegetables, you have access to structured water. That's basically what the book is made for everyone. Even, you know, somebody who can't even, we basically recommend a blender that you can get at a thrift store for $5, anything that you can blend your vegetables in order to get sort of a smoothie in there. We don't, in the book, we don't tout any kind of filters. Although I do, there's certain things I absolutely believe, and I have my own filters in my house that I like and I recommend if somebody were to ask me, but we don't tout it because, you know, there are different needs for different people. And, you know, the alkaline water, what's the best alkaline water you could be drinking? A green smoothie, you know, so.
I love the fact that, you know, what you're saying is it's not H2O that you want to work with. It's really the plant-based foods that have the structured water in it is the key. Exactly. That's the key to hydrating your cells.
Exactly. There's a couple websites I'd love to give. Like one is the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. They have a list of filters that they approve, and I trust this organization implicitely, EWG.org, and you can look at their list of like the best water filter for your budget. There's another website I love. It's called findaspring.com. And basically it tells you where there's local springs where you can go and bottle your own water near your home. I mean, you know, not the best thing for everybody, but who knows? Maybe there's a spring really close to where you live. You never know.
Right.
So a couple things that anybody can do. That's really what we're trying to focus on here rather than trying to.
Yeah. We just have about a minute left. Can you tell us where can we find more about you and about your new book, Quench?
Yes. So my website is www.drdanacohen.com. And Quench, the book, is available anywhere books are sold, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And I'll give you my co-author, Gina Bria. She runs something called the Hydration Foundation. She had lots of information on her website about the new science that's coming out, and it's thehydrationfoundation.org.
Oh, excellent. Thanks so much, Dr. Dana. It's great information. So excited for you. Congratulations on your new book, Quench, and it's available everywhere. Again, her website is drdanacohen.com, and great information. Thanks so much. All right. If you've learned something new that, you know, you'd like to share with your friends and family, please do so and go to iTunes and give us some of your feedback. Love your support. Do connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you need more guidance on how to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, I will help you with through phone or Skype consultations. And we do this all around the world. So go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.